What are the 7 habits of highly effective people, and how can you use them to achieve your own success? Well, stick around to find out. Hey, peeps, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this. What is going on, crypto family? So today I'll be covering a legendary self-help book in our signature quick and dirty style, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, written none other than by the one and only Stephen Covey back in 1989. This book is one of the top recommended when it comes to how to become successful in pursuing your goals. We all want to succeed in life, right? Nobody wants to be a failure, but the path to success often requires certain habits that have to be formed. For example, if you have a habit of showing up late to work, you probably won't hold that job very long. At the same time, if you make it a habit to show up on time or even 5 minutes early, already prepared for the day with a proper mindset, you'll go a lot further than someone who doesn't have that habit. Success is often habitual. Those who practice to the point where success becomes a habit no longer has to think very hard about doing the actions needed to get a very good result. This all ties into the recent video we just did on the 4 stages of learning. Make sure that you watch that video if you haven't already. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And I'll make sure to put the link right here in the video for you as well. Without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into this, right? The first habit of highly effective people is this. It's to be proactive. The majority of people tend to live in a reactive way. They tend to respond to external stimuli and often blame circumstances and surrounding conditions for why they're at where they're at or why they got the results that they got. Not only this, but they often choose to act based on their feelings. To be proactive, we have to be intentional about creating a space between the stimulus and our response. Reactive people, they have stimulus and response kind of fused together, almost like it's automatic. Proactive people have a choice between stimulus and response. They use the freedom to choose, which involves their values, character, will, and conscience. This is a very stoic way of looking at life. One example to help illustrate how this might play out, imagine someone says something harsh or rude and downright mean to you. You have choices. And you can respond with a slew of options, such as deflecting, ignoring the other person's behavior, addressing the behavior, or you might respond with anger, verbal retaliation, or some may even choose violence. However, if you've taken the time beforehand to prepare yourself with a plan on a healthy way to handle a situation like this, you'll be more prepared to take a second to think about various healthy outcomes. You can then use your values and decide how to deal with the situation in a healthy manner. How you can respond can be the difference between jail, prison, I think it's kind of the same thing, right? Or coming to a peaceful conclusion. It's our freedom to choose. Another way to look at this is the circle of concern. Reactive people tend to focus on the things they can't control. This makes the circle of concern increase. However, when you're proactive, you usually focus on the things you can control, the things that you can change, the things that you can do and influence. This makes your circle of influence increase in size, and you can hurl more things and make a much larger impact on your circle of influence and handle bigger problems in life and in business. This makes you highly effective. See what I did there? In essence, in general, you are the creator and the programmer of your life. The second habit the book covers is to begin with the end in mind. If you look at things around you, such as your computer monitor, keyboard, cell phone, your home, buildings, cars and trucks, etc., they all began as mental creations in people's minds. It's similar with life. We all have ideas, dreams and such, but how do we achieve them? Even though things are created in our minds, they are not always created by conscious design. Some people will design their lives, and other people, you know, their lives are shaped by others' judgments, agendas, and opinions. Many people are just running around day to day, not paying attention to their lives and what happens long term. To be highly effective, we must begin with the end in mind. Stephen Covey talks about how we have to become our own creators for our lives. One way to do this is like many businesses do, develop your own personal mission statement, your own philosophy or creed, so to speak. It should focus on your values, who you want to be, and what you want to contribute to the world. It's like having your own constitution. Stephen says people can't live with change if there's not a changeless core inside them. The key to the ability to change is a changeless sense of who you are, what you are about, and what you value. Your mission statement will evolve over time as you experience, you know, different things in your life too. Brandon Webb also addresses this in his book, Total Focus. He explains that our mission will change, and that's okay. Two tools to help us begin reprogramming ourselves in a sense are visualization and affirmations. A good affirmation should have five key things. It should be personal. It should be positive, in the present tense, visual, and emotional. You want to repeat this to yourself and visualize the outcome. This assists you with developing the program that will create a new version of yourself. But this doesn't only have to apply to your own personal goals and development. In an interview with Elon Musk about how he achieved amazing results with SpaceX, he specifically mentioned how he began and with the end in mind in asking questions like what it would take to create cheaper rockets to decrease costs as they came up with reusable rockets. You can see how beginning with the end in mind might change what questions we ask. As the world famous motivational speaker Anthony Robbins has said, the quality of your life is a direct reflection of the quality of the questions you are asking yourself. And it's not only the questions that you ask, but the questions that you fail to ask that shape your destiny. The next habit covered in this book, putting first things first. This focuses on the physical creation. One way for us to look at these first three habits is by using a computer example. So in the first habit, we are the programmer. The second habit, we write the program. And the third habit, we run the program, running it in a way that we get the results we want. This is where being driven by your values and mission comes into play. Rather than depending on willpower and discipline to push us, we have a burning why. The reason we have a burning desire. One fundamental question you can ask yourself is, what one thing could you do in your business or personal life if you did it regularly, you would make a huge difference in your life? What would make your life a great one? So if I were to ask you, why are you not following through on your commitments or what you said you wanted to do? Would you say that you were unable to prioritize, you lack the desire to work on these priorities, or you lack the discipline to execute? I found most people say that they simply lack the discipline to execute. But in most cases, it's actually a lack of desire. Their mission, their dream, and goals are not burning inside enough. So if you go out and you learn a ton of ways to create businesses, make money, etc., but you don't have that burning desire to follow through consistently, you're not going to stay the course. It's easy for people to think that successful people just got lucky or were in the right place at the right time. Well, there are examples of this. The reality is almost all successful people had a goal and focused on that with a burning desire. Did Michael Jordan just play basketball an hour once or twice a week? Did Stephen Vai, did he play the guitar just a little bit on the weekends? Did Grant Cardone make one or two sales calls a day? No. These folks had laser focus and spent countless hours on their craft until they became giants in their chosen fields, right? Most of us spend too much time on what is urgent and not enough time on what is important. So, how do you implement first things first? Stephen Covey, he uses the four quadrant framework. This is a table divided into four boxes. On the x-axis, you have the urgent and not urgent. On the y-axis, you have the important and not important. This then gives you four choices: urgent and important, not urgent and important, urgent and not important, and not urgent and not important. What many find in this life, we tend to focus on urgent tasks, but not many of them are actually that important. In reality, there are many items in the not urgent and important category that are very important for long-term growth and success. Things such as strategic planning for your business, working on your body or health, spending time with the family. But we often have placed it in the important, but not really urgent category. This is an an area that we need to focus on, right? This quadrant is easy to push off until tomorrow. For example, have you ever said, I'll exercise tomorrow, I'll work on my business tomorrow, I'll make that sales call, I'll spend time with my family, I'll start eating healthy tomorrow, I'll stop smoking tomorrow, et cetera, right? I know, maybe this is a little too close to home, but these are some of the things that if left unchecked for long periods of times, can have drastic implications and negative impacts on our lives. These not urgent, but important tasks are crucial for reaching our goals and desires. Another principle in this habit is called the paradigm of interdependence. What is the most important ingredient you put into a relationship? Is it the things you do, what you say, or who you are? The answer is who you are, right? If you are congruent, then you will come across in a good way. That is to say, if how you think and act are the same, you'll be an honest person that people can connect with. But if you say one thing and you do another, it's going to be really tough for people to trust you or to be around you, right? This brings us to the idea of an emotional bank account. This is basically the amount of trust that we have built up in a relationship. This helps people feel safe around us. With a high emotional bank account, communication is easy, instant, and effective. To have a really powerful relationships, we need to make regular deposits in this bank account. There are six types of deposits. The most important is understanding the individual. What is important to them? This must also be important to you. Many times we make assumptions about what others need, they want, or like, but we're all different, so these assumptions are often wrong. We have to take time to get to know people and to understand them. Now, we won't go into all these deposits in this video. Still, some others in this area are things like attending to the little things, keeping commitments, and clarifying expectations. Now, the next habit Stephen covers is called think win-win. For many people in life, they go into situations thinking about how they can win and not worry about the others involved. This can create a win-lose philosophy. Many inexperienced negotiators tend to think like this. How can I win this negotiation? Master negotiators, you know, they look at situations in a win-win way. How can both parties win? That's what you got to ask yourself. So the four-step sequence for this process is to first see the problem from the other person's point of view. Next, you identify the key issues and concerns the other party or parties have. Then you determine what results would create an entirely acceptable solution for both parties. You'll need to identify the possible options to achieve those results. Finally, you make a list of obstacles that can keep you from applying a win-win scenario. What can you do within your circle of influence to eliminate some of these blocks that may prevent a win-win? The next and fifth habit covered in this book is to seek first to understand and then to be understood. If we cannot appreciate people and let them know that we like them, then how are they supposed to like us? Many people tell others, you know, how good they are and all the other cool things about themselves, but the other person doesn't care if they don't feel listened to or understood. In order to draw a more significant influence, you must also be influenced by others. This goes along with the old saying I heard years ago, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You do this with empathetic listening, or listening with the intent to understand and not just to agree. The four stages of listening are discussed in this habit as well. A quick summary of these stages is in stage one, you mimic content, often repeating what others say back to them. Stage two is rephrasing the content the other person says. The third stage is to reflect feelings. The fourth and highest stage is when we are able to rephrase and reflect other people's feelings back to them. The key to this habit is genuinely seeking welfare of the other person. This is something that helps change your circle of influence. I know, we're flying through these, doing this very quick and dirty summary for you. And I definitely recommend if you want to dive deeper into any of these habits that we're covering, that you check out Stephen's book. You can get it at most bookstores or even right there on Amazon. So, continuing with the sixth habit, synergize. And no, it's nothing like jazzercise. This habit is based around synergy, which is when the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The more authentic you become, particularly regarding personal experiences and self-doubt, the more people can relate to us. To synergize with someone, you have to want to understand that person. There is a high emotional bank account that we discussed earlier, and it's a win-win situation. We have to value the difference differences in people. We all have to see the world differently, and we all have different experiences in various areas of expertise. To synergize is to value others, their experiences, and know that there are things that we can learn from each other. The seventh and final habit covered in this book is called sharpen your saw. The idea is that whoever has the sharpest saw will cut down the tree faster. So sharpening your saw is very important. Mr. Covey encourages us to always be working on becoming a better version of ourselves. This involves four parts of ourselves. Our physical well-being includes exercise, nutrition, and sleep. Our spiritual side includes prayer and values and meditation. Our mental well-being involves reading and visualizing and learning. And the final area is our social and emotional well-being that includes service and empathy and synergy and relationships. What are some activities in these areas that you can start implementing in your life? Let me know. Now, in closing, hopefully you can see why this book has sold more than 25 million copies worldwide and is often recommended as one of the top success books to go through. And you know what? I hope that you found this quick and dirty summary. It's been hopefully insightful for you, maybe even help you in your own life to get you asking new questions or seeing things with a fresh new perspective. Hey peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of Trading View Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. God bless you. Love you. And I'll catch y'all on the next one.